Blog Talk Radio.
Ray and Tay today. Yes, Sports Radio's on. Talking sports with friends, and you know we got it on. From NFL to the NBA, MLB and college hoops do it all day. College football, we know who's number one. Understand, on the phones, you know we get it done. So call in 718-664-9098 and we'll give you more. Talk sports, yes we do. Talk sports, it's for you. Play and pay, and we spit it every day. And we're talking sports, give us a call, okay?
Hello, hello,
hello, hello, and welcome to the show. We got a new intro.
Yes, sir.
You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and are you ready for some football? It's Super Bowl preview time, and I'm
hype.
Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and I am hyped up, baby. This is our Super Bowl preview show. Give us a call. 718-664-9098. Like always, hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. We got to read some of these picks that are coming in, Ray. We got people tweeting at us at rayandtaytoday. And check out the website, rayandtaytoday.com. You know what? We are going to give you a full football show, breaking down the teams, the game, the Super Bowl preview, NFL honors, the awards, who we think will get in the Hall of Fame. We will save the Phoenix Open and NBA All-Star reserves for Monday, Ray. First off, are you ready for the Super Bowl, baby?
I am ready, and I got to give you credit. You called this in our September show. I think it was September the 4th. And these two teams, despite slow starts, 2-2 for the Patriots, and then the Seahawks lost their third game. What, they were like 3-3, I think.
3-3 at one point.
Yeah, 2-2 and 3-3. These two teams over a 16-game season were the best two teams in the league. So it stacks up to be a great Super Bowl, great teams, both have experience, both have players that have been in the game before and have won before. So this is a great, great Super Bowl. At least it stacks up to be. We'll talk about the details, but yes, I'm very excited. And you must be crazy, going crazy out there in Phoenix, because the Super Bowl was in New York last year. So you know Ray had
to go be part of the pre-game
festivities. And now you've got not only the Pro Bowl last weekend, but you've got the Super Bowl this weekend. So tell us what's going on in Phoenix, in the greater Phoenix area.
It's very exciting. Obviously, throw in the Phoenix Open as well. But Tiger's already gone from that. But football-wise, it is crazy going to the NFL Experience and the Fan Fest in Phoenix tomorrow. Today at the ESPN in Fashion Square, where you see First Take and SVP. I was there for the SVP show. Saw Teddy Bruschi. Had to shout out Yo Terps, the Scott Van Pelt. The big stars are my twin sons, Jackson and Mateus. Everybody's wanting to take pictures with them, seeing, where if they're going to play in the NFL one day. They're like, it looks like you got a linebacker and a wide receiver. I was like, yeah, So a lot of fun.
You haven't wearing Steelers jerseys?
Well, I had my Steelers stuff. They outgrew their Steelers stuff. So, dad's got to get on it when they get some more stuff. And, of course, the other boys, William has the Jaguar gear and Elijah has the Cardinal gear, which they'll be rocking tomorrow. So, the family's got a little bit of stuff all over, but those twins will be rocking Steelers stuff when I get it for them, But what's fascinating is that hearing Teddy Bruschi, obviously he's a Patriot, he has to pick the Patriots. But listening to all the different guys from NFL Network, ESPN, and everybody making their predictions, and 70% of the fans, Vegas-wise, seem to be betting on the Patriots. All the insiders and most of the NFL guys, retired coaches, players, are going with the Seahawks. So it's fascinating with the line sort of bouncing around, and I think at the end of the day, it's similar to last year, with the line in Vegas bouncing around. I want to touch on the commissioner a little bit. You know, he spoke, you know, obviously about Deflategate and Ted Wells and the Rams and you know, the conduct. But the one thing that, you know, all of it is whatever, right? But the one thing that I thought was interesting, he did have a moment, you know, like crack the window for a second to show some humility, saying that himself professionally and personally and the NFL did have a rough year. And, you know, I think the fans do want to see that. And even answering the challenges of what Sherman said about, oh, well, I got to, you know, the players got to speak every week. Should he speak every week? And he was like, yeah, no, of course. You know, I do that every day in my job. We're open and available. So, you know, I'm tough on Roger Goodell, but I got to give him some credit. I thought, you know, kind of plain and generic, good, solid press conference. The only issue I have, though, Ray, is that he should be sitting down with NBC, just like the president is, and sit down with Al Michaels or Bob Costas and do one-on-one where you could have follow-up questions. That I don't like right before the Super Bowl. He should do that.
Well, you know what? In some ways, I agree with everything you said, but in some ways, I don't even want to hear from him. I want the game to be, and this week, to be all about the game. Roger Goodell, you know what? You've got the combine coming up. You got the draft coming up. We'll hear from Roger Goodell late February, early March. Let's hear about football. Let's talk about the game. Let's talk about the beauty of, you know, the two number one seeds meeting each other. And, you know, it's funny because you mentioned Vegas. This is the ultimate pick 'em.
Yes, it is.
To me, you know, the spread maybe moves around half a point either way. But to me, it's really a pick 'em. Who is going to win the game? Before, you know, even in the early games when I can think back to 2001, right, when the Patriots won their first Super Bowl, they were a 14-point underdog. And then everybody thought St. Louis was going to win, but it was just a matter of how much. But here, it's literally, I don't see anybody talking spreads. People are just talking, who's going to win the game? Who's the better team? Who's going to win the game?
Right, right. Points is not a main factor in this. And, you know, it's just all so fascinating. So let's start talking about it, and let's start with the coaches, though. You know, normally you start offense, defense. I want to start with the coaches because these guys, you know, obviously Belichick replaced Pete. They both have been with the Patriots, both briefly with the Jets. Belichick, like, what, one day with the Jets? But
one day, and then he bounced up north.
One day,
with
right?
No delay.
And then left us. I saw a fan in the street today. He was like, "I'm a Jet fan. I can't root for you know, Pete didn't do good with us." I was like, "Yeah, but Belichick, he left us high and dry." He's like, "Oh, that's a
he didn't
good
even
point.
Want the job."
He was like, "That's a good point." You know. So, but I think what you're seeing is two programs and organizations that are mirroring each other with similar but different philosophies. And I think similar in the sense that they sort of, you know, seize the day, take it day by day. I think Belichick might be a little bit looser behind closed doors than he is to the media and what he shows. Pete is just like individualism, focus, you guys be yourself. I'll, you know, rail it in. I'll, you know, let you be free, but then we'll, you know, we'll practice hard, we'll play hard. I think both of them strive for excellence, and I think it's all about practice. You know, we're talking about practice.
Are we talking about the game that I love? Are we talking about the game that I love? Are we talking about practice?
And you know, and that is good to hear because I think they both scheme the best. They both, you know, teach the best tackling. They both give their coordinators, you know, the power to sort of innovate. And so I think it's refreshing in this game, Ray, that, you know, you're seeing the last dynasty, which is, you know, two Super Bowls in a row in 03 and 04, but still the dynasties have been ongoing the whole time of Belichick and Brady with six Super Bowl appearances, you know, 21 wins for the coach and, you know, 12 or whatever for the player, you know. So, I mean, they are amazing. And then the same thing with the Seahawks, now sort of young, almost reminding you of that young Patriot team with a great defense. And remember, Brady wasn't, you know, the big, you know, winning quarterback then. He was sort of like, you know, kind of a game manager.
He was a replacement for Bledsoe.
That's
Mo
right.
Mo Lewis, and you again, it comes back to the Jets. Mo Lewis knocks out Drew Bledsoe, and this young kid, sixth-round draft pick, what was he, 197th pick in the draft, comes in, and the rest is history.
Fascinating. So I kind of love the matchups everywhere. You know what I mean? And I guess to me, this is the question I have to ask you. If you had to pick one of these coaches to be your head coach to win one game, which is the Super Bowl, who would you pick?
Well, that's a great question because they're both outstanding coaches. They both motivate men. They both do it in very different ways. Like you said, Pete Carroll lets you do it individually and finds a way to push your buttons by still having fun and still having a good time, but he holds you accountable. They're both defensive guys. Belichick's a system guy.
Yeah.
So you either are with his program or you're not. So I would say it might seem like a cop-out answer, but it kind of depends on your team, right? If you've got a team of all-stars and thoroughbreds, then I want Pete Carroll. But if you've got just a random team and you want to overachieve and you want to get, you know, a guy to have him buy into his program – and he's a tactical genius. Remember, he also was the defensive coordinator on the 86 and the 90 Giant teams.
We gave Bill
Parcells all the credit for. But you know what?
It was the Giants defense.
Scratch your head a little bit. You got it. You know, it was the Giant D, and the architect was, you know, Bill Belichick was part of that dynasty as the defensive coordinator. So. Again, I guess it depends on what team you're giving me, but you can't go wrong with both of these guys. But what's also amazing, though, is how these guys didn't have immediate success, that it takes
second
players,
to third
it
job,
takes
exactly.
The system, right? Belichick wasn't so good when it was when he was the Browns coach and Vinny Testaverde was his guy, you know what I mean? And this is the third time around for Pete Carroll.
Remember,
and he wasn't any good until Russell Wilson was his quarterback. You give him credit, though, for putting Russell Wilson in the starting position because that takes a lot for, what, was his second-year head coach?
Well, that was especially after they gave Matt Flynn all that money.
Matt Flynn, right. They gave Matt Flynn $8
million. Yep. That was
and he
huge.
Said, no way, the better guy is Russell Wilson, and he's going to play.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think we got a caller here. Is that a...
I think they're just waiting.
Okay, they're just waiting. So, listen, okay, so to me, basically, we would both agree, look, it's a push, depends on the roster. You know, Belichick, obviously. But you know what? When you said he has his guys, but what's fascinating, and you got to give Pete credit for this, very rare that a coach and an organization move on from a talent like a Percy Harvin in the middle of the season. And that took, and we spoke about it at the time, that it was either going to galvanize them or make them crash because of lack of speed and talent. And it seemed to really refocus the run and the team. And you got to give them a lot of credit. And think about this. This team mirrors the old Patriots and Brady team back in the day with the young quarterback, great defense, and Deion Branch and, you know, nobody at wide receiver. Because, you know, listen, pedestrian.
Brown, Dog, right?
Yeah,
Troy.
Doug Baldwin and Curse. You know, Richardson got hurt. They don't have great receivers either. So it's fascinating how similar, you know, maybe what, 11 years later, the organizations kind of are. So it's going to be one of those things that you're just like, wow. Whoever wins.
We hope. I hope it's not a blowout either way. I just want a good game. It'd be nice to have a good game, maybe a game that comes down to a fourth quarter drive, maybe a 2-minute drive by one of the two quarterbacks, and the quarterbacks do it in totally different ways, right? Russell Wilson will beat you with his legs. He'll get that critical first down and then go deep on you. And Tom Brady is just methodical with those two tiny wide receivers, those two big tight ends up the middle, and that interchangeable running game. So I can't wait. Like Bart Scott said, can't wait.
And look, when you look at the offense, right, this Patriot team, they give you about 344 yards a game compared to the Seahawks, 262 yards a game, 267. So offensively, I think you would say there's a clear edge to the Patriots, you know, with their balance. Obviously, you know, for the season, Jonas Gray is the leading rusher. But since Blunt has been there and he was there last year, you know, giving you the 200 yard games, and then you've got Vereen who can, you know, catch it for, you know, off the out the backfield, run it for 4 yards a pop. He's actually a pretty decent runner too. So I think when you look at the Patriots offense, there's so much versatility where people will say, hey, the Cowboys, they punched it down Seattle's face, just pound it and run it. So, hey, that's obvious. The Patriots can do that, right? Gray and Blunt, they can run it 25 times. That doesn't mean they're going to do that. Remember in 2012, Ray, what did Brady do against the Seahawks? He spread them four wide, right? You know? So that's going to be fascinating to see how they decide.
The other thing that's interesting is, again, back to the coaches, Belichick is one of these guys that will trick, I don't want to say trick you, but he will definitely scheme something different week to week, right? He's not one of these guys that says, I'm going to line up, you're going to line up, I'm going to punch you in the mouth, and I'm going to win because my team is better and they execute better. Bill Belichick is the type of guy that will take something away from you, and his teams typically do something that you don't expect. So, like you said, four wide, five wide, expect the unexpected. And that makes preparation for the Patriots so hard because Belichick will have something up his sleeve. Now, Seattle, I think pretty much what you see is what you get. I mean, we might have a little more Russell Wilson on design runs and rollouts and Russell Wilson out of the pocket. But for the most part, I think if you look back on the 16 regular season games and two playoff games, you pretty much know what you're going to get from Seattle. You know it's all about execution for them. But the Patriots are going to put a new wrinkle in there, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I could see that. I think, really, though, they're so flexible, Seattle's preparing for both, right? You've got to prepare for the whole pounding of Blunt because they can do that, and it's worked against Seattle. They've got to try to establish the run because I think if Brady goes back and throws it 45 times, that's giving the opportunity for Seattle's secondary and their pass rush to get to Brady. And the one thing about that offensive line, Ray, they've had times where they were not always great protecting Brady. So I think if they get a little bit running downhill and pounding it with Blunt and you know, sort of keeping the defense off balance, because like you said, Seattle's defense is, you know, straightforward. They've cleared up. You know, the referee's going to make a signal for who's eligible and ineligible. So I don't think, you know, they'll get tricked with that at all like the Ravens did. Plus the fact that, you know, the Seahawks are pretty vanilla. It's either man, you know, three under man or zone with three deep. So you're not going to be, you know, really fooling them. So and plus they're really smart too. I mean, let's be honest. They're pretty, you know, smart team. So the chess match is this, or the one thing that's going to be fascinating is to see, does Brady, which they have not done all year, do they actually throw the ball down the field where you might see an Amendola or your boy, Brandon LaFell, trying to go deep? You know what I mean? So that's the one thing that I'd like to see, because I think it's so obvious that Brady throws the ball over the middle all day to Tim Wright and slants with Amendola and Edelman. Is part of the wrinkle trying to get Vereen on Bruce Irving or a linebacker or KJ Wright, or trying to get Tim Wright involved and using Gronk and Edelman as decoys. You know, that's where you see Belichick doing something a little bit different. So you got to watch out for Tim Wright, Brandon LaFell, you know, those guys, Amendola. So, you know, the chess match goes on and on and on. Would you be shocked or surprised if I told you that Russell Wilson and Brady basically have the same, you know, like passing? They both throw the ball for, you know, per pass, the same percentage of yards per reception, you know? So it's basically they're both at like 9.4 and 9.7. Would you think it would be more?
I would be surprised.
Yeah.
I would be surprised at that.
I was kind of shocked. So, I mean, you know, so I think that this game is filled of so many things that, you know, you just want to say it's going to be a classic. But at the end of the day, Ray, it's going to be who misses and makes their field goals, who gets the turnovers, you know what I mean, and who, you know, sack fumbles. So let me ask you this. Give me one defensive guy that could change the game. Now, we already spoke about last episode, you know, about Maxwell and stuff like that. So somebody different. Who is it that is, you know, we said Maxwell and Collins. Besides those guys, who is it that is going to, almost like last year, the kid, the linebacker, was it Malcolm Smith?
Malcolm Smith, who doesn't even play now. Can you imagine?
I know.
He basically doesn't even get the time of day on that roster.
Yeah. Who could it be that would be sort of that random star?
Well, you know, it's so funny because they've got a bunch of stars. And the easiest thing to say is somebody in the secondary. But you know what? I don't know that I'm going with the secondary. I'm going to go old school with a linebacker. And I'm going to say Bobby Wagner. And, you know, we saw in Carolina what Davis and Kuechly were doing. And we said, wow, isn't it great that linebackers are still part of the game? Because, you know, it's all about rushing the passer and the secondary, because this game has become all about passing. So I just like this young kid. You know, he came on the scene a couple years ago as a rookie, and he just makes plays. So I like to see Bobby Wagner play, and I think he'll have a critical part in deciding who wins the game. I think he'll cause a fumble. He'll do something from his linebacker position. He is the guy I've got my eye on. And, of course, the unsung guy from last week, I told you, is Maxwell. Obviously, that the other three, the Legion of Boom, you know, they're unbelievable. Speaking of which, do we have an update on the injuries, you know, about Thomas and
they're going to be. It's not going to be a
they're
factor.
They're dinged up a little bit, but
Sherman,
ready to play.
I think Sherman is a little bit better with that elbow. They're both going to get shot up in the locker room. We know how that goes before the game. I think the separated, you know, with the shoulder, that for Thomas is going to be a little bit more. It'll be interesting to see how the Patriots find a way to sort of test it. I don't know if you specifically can, per se, because it's not like Richard Sherman. People say, oh, just run out and make him tackle. But it's not like he's a big tackler anyway. And the way their linebackers and everybody moves, you know, it's very rare that you're seeing a corner step up and make a solo tackle by himself anyway. So, but Earl Thomas, that'll be interesting. But remember, it's not going to be just one-on-one Chancellor on Gronk. You're going to see, you know, Simon and a little bit of maybe Wagner or Irvin and then Chancellor over the top. You know, I mean, they play a lot more zone than people think. So it's, you know, what happens is this: they let everybody play in front of them, and they don't let you get yards after catch. And they tackle you, and they put you in a situation where you're fourth and two, fourth and three, and then you have to punt it. So I think that's, you know, going to be their whole thing, keep it under. So can Gronk get the first down? Can Vereen or Amendola, Edelman break tackles? I think that's what it's all about. And we know the Seahawks are great tacklers. So I think, to me, that's one of the keys. Watch how they're tackling, you know. But I just got a funny feeling. Tim Wright. So, look, if I'm going to pick a guy, I'm going to have to say how you went with Wagner. To me, I'm actually going to have to go with Browner on the Patriots.
The ex-Seahawk. Is he going to
go after them? Well, this is the thing. I think two things. Yeah, maybe he's on Curse, or maybe Revis is on Baldwin, whatever they do. The thing is that Baldwin and Curse, these guys, and Lockett, let's not forget Lockett, Ricardo, baby. Russell extends the plays, whether it's from the naked bootleg or his scrambles out of the pocket, but he looks to throw first. So you're sticking a guy for 3-4 seconds, but Browner with the penalties, and he gets a lot of penalties. Will Browner be able to, you know, stay with these guys, and as they come back to Russell or extend it and go deep, even on double moves, you know what I mean? Will Browner be able to stick with these guys and not get the big penalties. So that's going to be fascinating to me, Ray, to see if Russell can get some, because, you know, they always do take a shot. People kind of rip their offense, but they do take shots, and you saw obviously what Kurse did in overtime. But they do take shots down the field, and Russell is very accurate with the deep throw. So that's going to be fascinating to me with Browner and that whole situation.
All right, so your guy's Brandon Browner. Okay.
Yeah, man. So let's start to break it down, man. We're getting in the meat of the show. I'm gonna let you go first. How does it play out? And who is winning Super Bowl 49?
49. Can you believe that?
Oh.
Next year 50. Jesus.
It just means it's
means we're getting
old. 5 years behind the Super Bowl, so we already know what that means.
We've seen too many of these already. So I think it's going to be a very, very tight competitive game. I don't think either team runs away with the game. I think it'll be tit for tat. So I look for a close game throughout, which means that it comes down to fourth quarter execution. And it's funny because if you think about it, I'm not sure there's anybody in the NFL, and it's not just because they're playing in a Super Bowl. I'm not sure there's anybody in the NFL at this point that is not named Aaron Rodgers that potentially you'd want in the fourth quarter, and for totally different reasons than Brady and Russell Wilson. Just because these guys can bring you back and go get that game-winning touchdown. Having said that, I think that neither team – I mean, if I look at it and I say who's the most dynamic offensive player, it feels like this Super Bowl doesn't really have dynamic offensive players. I mean, Marshawn Lynch is beast mode, but he's going to kill you by 1,000 slashes, you know what I mean? He might go for 100, 110, but it'll be on 25, 30 carries. Gronkowski probably is the most explosive player when he's right. You know, just because of he's just a matchup nightmare. He's unbelievable in the run blocking game, and he's even better catching, you know, balls up the middle from Brady. So because there aren't any great, great playmakers, I think that offense is going to be meticulous. I think it'll take sustained drives to go up and down the field. So I actually think it's going to be not that high scoring, so about what the over-under would be. And I think it's going to be very close. And I think that it might be the team that has the ball last wins the game. So, you can put me on the line here. Now, I thought about this all week, and I said there's a scenario that the Patriots win. There's a scenario where the Seahawks win. And if they played this game 10 times, it might be 5-5. But if I had to make a prediction, which I will, I'm going to say that Russell Wilson, the new style quarterback that can beat you with his legs and can beat you with his arm, will come back in the fourth quarter. He'll be down 23-21, and I think he comes down and they drive down and Steven Hauschka wins the game with a 37-yard field goal. I'm giving you all the precise predictions. 24-23, Seattle Seahawks win the game on a fourth quarter that Brady drives down and scores, and then Russell Wilson comes back and wins the game as time expires.
Wow. I think we got a caller. Let's see if they agree with you before
I press the caller in.
Hello, you're on Ray and
Tay. With Ray and Tay.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
Man, if I had to pick, guys, I'm sorry. This is, for those who don't know, this will be a repeat of last year's Super Bowl. The Seahawks are going to dominate, and it's going to be.
Blowout. Okay.
Yeah, it may not be 43-8, but it'll be like, I see it being like 24-10. And the reason is, and this is what I haven't heard no one talk about. What the problem is for all AFC teams is that the AFC is just not as physical and rugged and tough as the NFC is. To win the NFC, you got to have a team of rough riders to do it. That's what happened last year. Denver, even though they had all this talent and offensive ability, they come in, they got manhandled because there's no one in the AFC to test them. Look at who New England played. A Baltimore team that has a defense that's a shell of what it used to be, right? And then Indy, what is Indy? Indy is a speed bump. Indy had no toughness at all. Their defense is soft. They had no running game. And New England's just scorched them. What they're going to face on Sunday is a physical running game, a running back that they haven't dealt with most of the season. I mean, who have they played that has that type of running game? Secondly, what defense have they faced in the last, I don't know how many weeks, that's even close to what Seattle has?
Nothing. Okay, Only Kansas City. Only the Chiefs, and the Chiefs beat both of these teams. So I totally agree with you with the physicality. And the Patriots went to the Packers and lost a great game, which could have been a Super Bowl preview. So, you know, you bring some
balance.
But
I will say that the Raiders – well, first of all, Cole, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Mike. Calling from Minnesota.
Mike from Minnesota. Well, thank you for the call. This is great. I will say this. I will say that you're absolutely right about getting punched in the mouth and being able to withstand that punch in the mouth. And Baltimore has New England's number. For some reason, they just play New England really, really well. But here's what I would ask you. What do you think about didn't we learn from last year how the Seahawks jumped on the Broncos from the opening snap that went over Peyton Manning's head, and just the game was a disaster after that. Can Belichick prepare these Patriots? Because Belichick might be the best, you know, pre-game preparation coach. And can Belichick have something up his sleeves that Pete Carroll won't be ready for?
Well, that's a great point, but I think Tyson said it best that anyone can have a great game plan until you get punched in the mouth.
There you go. That's
a great quote. That's a Mike Tyson quote, right? Everybody has a game plan until you get punched in the mouth.
Right, because, you know, football, like, you know, we can look into the whole, you know, analytics, stats, game plans, tactics. All of these things are great, right? But at the end of the day, it's a game where it's just you versus another man line up and who's going to win the battle at the end of the day, right? And just I feel like if you look in New England, their receivers, first and foremost, I don't think their receivers are going to be able to beat anything Seattle has in their secondary. And just like – and think about it, guys. Last year, Denver's receiving core, those weren't a bunch of tiny dudes. Those were, you know, Denarius Thomas, you know, and then the tight end. They had big, physical, strong receivers.
Julius Thomas.
And they were literally afraid of Cam Chancellor. You could see it. Every time they came across the middle, they literally flinched and wouldn't even try to catch the ball because they were anticipating getting nailed. Right? Now you got Julian Edelman.
One factor is a healthy Gronk. You got to admit, a healthy Gronk – is going to be a little bit of a difference from a young Julius Thomas, and Tim Wright is kind of big too. So that's the one, you know, little edge that the Patriots have over the Broncos. Wouldn't you agree?
I would, but the only thing I would say is that if he at least had another receiver to draw the coverage off of him. I mean, you think about it. If you're Seattle and you're approaching New England's offense, clearly Gronk's going to get matched up, probably even double-teamed most of the game. And you're going to challenge any other receiver to beat you. And I just don't see anyone else can do it, you know? I'd be man-on-man on everybody else.
I agree.
So give us a score.
Yeah, give it. Yeah. What'd you say, 34-10? Is that what you
said? 24-10. It's going to be a low-scoring, slow game.
24-10. Yeah. So, Mike, before we let you go, though, Mike, I got to know, who's your MVP?
Oh, I'm going with Marshawn Lynch. I think he's going to have a massive game against the Patriots.
Beast mode all day?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
All day. Yeah, man. Mike, great call. And if you want, check out with us on Monday as we review the show and maybe even, you know, say you were right with your score, man. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, same here. Thanks, guys, for having me. You guys have
all
a good
right.
Day.
Thanks
take
for calling.
Take care. Enjoy it. Enjoy Katy Perry, too. That was great.
All right. So we have Mike from Minnesota. Want to know if he's a Viking fan. But, yeah, I agree about – the physicality. I agree about the fact that AFC teams in general are not as physical. I just think that this AFC team, this Patriot team with Bill Belichick, who is a defensive guy, I think it'll be more competitive than that. Now, we both agree on the outcome, Seattle winning. I just think it's going to be more competitive. Now, what do you think? So you put me on the spot.
Well,
let's go. Let's hear what Tay has to say.
You know, as you're talking, I'm totally laughing because I'm like, wait a minute. This guy is, you know, he's reading my script. We very rarely agree, you know, to such detail. But you know what? It is what it is. And I will go back to September 4th. On RayandTateToday.com on our website. You can hear it and see it. Read it and escuchen. Tay said that the Seahawks would beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. And as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I have the exact same score that you just said. That was the score from 2012, 24-23. Now, let me tell you how I get there. Number one, right, it's not going to be that high scoring. And what I think the keys are, because I do see a way the Patriots could win, but like Mike from Minnesota said, the problem is this. The Patriots, as cute as they like to get and all that they like to do, the Seahawks, they just kind of line up and they play their game and they're physical and they man you up. And what's going to happen is Marshawn Lynch will get 3 yards, then 1 yard, then 6, then 10, then 2. It just, like you said, it's little slices of the knife and scissors. He keeps coming and coming. And as much as I love Will Fork, and as much as I love Collins and Chandler Jones will be big, when Russell Wilson does sort of the zone read and the read option and he sticks it in Lynch's body and then takes it out, he's reading to see, you know, the A gap and the B gap, if Wilford moves over too much or if, you know, they move over and try to, you know, overplay Lynch. And this guy is a magician with the ball. And I think that Baldwin and Curse and Lockett feel disrespected, underappreciated, almost like Branch and Brown did back in the days with the Patriots. And I think the receivers will show up good.
Rid of Percy Harvin and you can still make plays?
That's right, baby. I told you Luke Wilson will be a factor in this game. 4 receptions, 58 yards. Marshawn Lynch, mark it down, 113 yards. 2 touchdowns, and I also believe Beast Mode will be the MVP. I think the Patriots will be 2 touchdowns. They'll kick their 3 field goals because a lot of times they're going to get close, driving and dinking down the field, but not get in. And I think they will be up 23-20. And I think Russell will do what he does. He'll throw to Lockett. He'll throw to Wilson. He'll, you know, scramble for 8 yards. He'll go down the field, matriculate the ball down the field, and Hoshka will kick a 43-yarder.
Steven Hoshka. All right, well, hold that thought. We'll get back to that. We got another caller. Let's get the caller. Keep the caller momentum going.
Hello,
you're on the air with Ray and Tay.
Hey, this is Elijah from Scottsdale.
The home of the Phoenix, you know, the St. Louis, formerly St. Louis Cardinals.
Now the Arizona
Cardinals. Yeah. You're too young. You sound like you're too young to even remember the old St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, I can't remember that, but right now we're here for the Super Bowl, and I think I'm going off what the last caller said. I think that's going to be the Seahawks because – Brady's great and all, and with him and Belichick, I mean, their offense is good and they can drop a bunch of tricky plays, but at the end of the day, I think it's about physicality. And what we've seen in the past is Brady, when he gets hit a bit, he gets shook. He doesn't perform at that same level.
I got to say something. We're 4-for-4 on Seattle so far, but I think we're dissing the Patriots a little bit, saying, you know, that they're not as physical as other teams out there. They're not a slouch either, though. You know, we got to be careful. This team did win a lot of games. What were they, 12-4? And they're the number one team in the AFC, and they can play. So,
by all means, they're definitely a respectable organization, and they have gotten here by merit. But when going up against the Seahawks, I don't know if they're ready for that type
for the
of
ruckus,
that brand of playing and
power,
that physicality.
They're
and
not rough riders is what you're saying. All right, well, Elijah,
and I think
what do you got as a score, and
who's
your
score,
MVP?
Who's your MVP?
My final score is 38
to 24.
And I think that Earl Thomas is gonna like surprise some people, get like an interception or two,
we got a pick
and
six
he's
coming?
Going to be the MVP.
Okay.
Wow. Even with a hurt shoulder. Even with the hurt shoulder, mm-hmm. logic, you think he steps
yeah.
up?
Well, you know what? The yep. camera's going to be on him. So if he makes his plays, everybody's expecting him to be at, you know, 50, 75%. But if you make those plays and the camera's on you, you could win yourself an MVP.
Yeah, the
Dexter
wise man
Jackson.
Told me. Clutch men in clutch moments make clutch plays. So I think that's going to be Earl Thomas in the Super Bowl.
There you go. A chip off the old block. That's right. Good call, Elijah. Thanks for calling, buddy.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. Great call.
Okay. You're welcome. Bye.
All right. Wow. Listen, this show is moving. We got people. Listen, Ray, it's, you know, look, at the end of the day, I think we, you know, not only did we both pick the same score and pick the Seahawks, but I think that it's, you know, the fans, there seems to be, I find that when I hear the Patriots fans, beside, you know, outside of New England picking the Patriots, it's really more because they dislike Lynch and the whole beast mode and not talking and Richard Sherman and he's so brash and Pete Carroll cheated at USC. It's not football reasons. Do you know what I mean? It's like personality conflicts. And to me, that's not how you pick a sporting event, right? It's about really looking at the talent, the athletes, and the execution. So I think there's a lot of people going with the Patriots because they dislike them more than the Seahawks, when both teams could be considered wearing the black hats and bad guys, right? The Patriots come off of Deflategate, Spygate, you know, who hate, I cheat, gate, you know? So it's really fascinating to see and hear, even out here in Arizona, sports radio, a lot of the Cardinal fans can't see the Seahawks winning in their stadium. Do you know what I mean? They can't stomach it. But there was a, you know, Elijah right there, a young Arizona fan who just feels like Seattle's too tough. So, fascinating.
Yeah, I think
very,
people are saying that the toughness, people are equating that toughness with Seattle and saying that New England can't hang with them.
Well, I'll tell you this. If the Seahawks do win, and we got to talk about the NFL postseason awards and stuff, but I'll say this: if the Patriots do find a way to win, to me it's going to be a little bit more high scoring because they found a way to, you know, get somebody open or beat somebody, you know. So to me, if the Patriots were able to pull it out, which I don't think they will, I'm sticking with 24-23 Seahawks, but it would be like 30-24, you know, Patriots. Like, they would score, you know, they would get in there a little bit more, get that third touchdown, and but I just don't think they can do it. I really
don't.
Well,
I will say this. Both of these teams and both of these organizations, whoever wins, you start to talk about legacy and dynasty, right? Back-to-back
yeah.
is still very rare in the NFL. Ironically enough, the Patriots did it in 03-04.
Yeah, and then
but
the Broncos.
Back-to-back is pretty rare. So you'd have to start talking about the Seattle organization and the Seattle D differently if they win this Super Bowl. And then if New England wins, Spygate, Norgate, you know, up gate, down gate, remote control gate, you know, garage gate, whatever kind of gate you want to talk about. This New England Patriot team, if they win, that means that since 2001, they will have won four championships. Brady is going to be 4-2. Belichick's going to be 4-2 as a head coach. Put the two where he was a defensive coordinator. He's won six. He will have won six Super Bowls.
That's amazing.
So either way, you start to look on Monday back at the winner, and you say to yourself, wow, this winning team, that's something special.
Oh, it's rare air for either one of them. So let's talk about Saturday night with the NFL honors. Who's your MVP? We'll go down the line. MVP, let's just shoot them out. Are you going with Rodgers, DeMarco Murray, J.J. Watt, Andrew Luck? Who you got?
You know, I hate to do it because I think this position gets overanalyzed and gets too much credit. But I got to give Aaron Rodgers the MVP. I think he's the best player in the game, in the most important position in the game. And if you took him off that team has Eddie Lacy and they have Jordy Nelson, but you know, Randall Cobb. But Aaron Rodgers told everybody to relax, and he went out and did his thing. And I think you do give a premium to quarterback just because there's so much weight on their shoulders. So if it's a tie, I almost feel like the quarterback has to win it. The tie goes to the runner, but the quarterback has so much pressure and so much more to do.
Without a doubt. So MVP, we agree, is Aaron Rodgers. Coach of the year, I think we would agree. I'm going with Bruce Arians. What he did with the injuries, the, you know, people getting arrested and, you know, PEDs and, you know, abusing and with losing D-Wash and Dwyer.
Yeah, I would say Bruce Arians for sure.
So then this is where you can sort of supplement that MVP, because offensive play of the year, I got to go with DeMarco Murray. I think what he did, besides Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, because they, I think they cancel each other out. But offensive play of the year, DeMarco Murray, with all those carries, he had almost, what, over 100 carries more than the next running back, had a 300 to 400 yards more. I mean, 1,800 yards. Ray, DeMarco Murray is my offensive player of the year. Amazing season.
I have to agree. And, you know, it pains me to agree with you, but that's my Cowboys right there. DeMarco Murray is the one who stabilized the ship. He basically saved Jason Garrett's job. A lot of the pressure on Tony Romo dissipated a little bit, and he carried that team after 3 or 4 years of offensive linemen and anchoring that offensive line.
And a great offensive
line. It was beautiful.
Right?
It started last year, right? He showed signs when he was healthy of being the man. And
was amazing, and that offensive line was amazing with Smith and Martin. Okay, now, look, defensive player of the year, it's really two guys. It's either Justin Houston with – an amazing season, just a half a sack away from, you know, getting the record with Strahan. But at the end of the day, nobody has the motor and dominated like J.J. Watt. That's my defensive player of the year.
I agree. And the spotlight was on him from game one. Javon Kearse was supposed to help him. Javon Kearse, Jadeveon Clowney was supposed to help him and take some of the pressure off. He was a rookie. He got hurt. It didn't come to fruition. So J.J. Watt, best motor in the game, maybe the best defensive teammate and motivator of others around him, defensive player.
But he still didn't make the playoffs, so that's why he's not an MVP.
Correct.
Being fair, defensive player, if you were MVP, you make the playoffs. Offensive rookie of the year, this one is close, really close. But at the end of the day, and you know I preseason picked Calvin Benjamin, I like Mike Evans, but I got to go with Odell Beckham Jr. I think missing the first four games and what he did and how he solidified the Giants' offense and his production. Look at the touchdowns, the yards. Finally, you know, wound up being a backup and made the Pro Bowl as a reserve. Without a doubt, that's my offensive play rookie of the year.
You know, I told you that I don't think it's outrageous to say that right now he's a top 10 and borderline top 5 NFL wide receiver, that I'm so high on this kid that Victor Cruz is Victor who? This guy is the real deal. Set himself a Guinness Book of World Record.
Yes.
That's actually pretty funny.
Drew
Brees throw it to him. We had to tweet out about that. But, yes, unbelievable. Played like he – talk about person who saved jobs. He saved potentially Eli's job, getting him an extension, and he definitely saved the offensive coordinator, the new offensive coordinator, and the head coach in New York.
And the coach, Red, but, you couldn't have said that better. So true. Now, to me, defensive rookie of the year, this guy was not a substitute. He was voted in to the Pro Bowl. And he's from Bama. I got to go with C.J. Mosley, without a doubt, the defensive rookie of the year. Incredible linebacker and what he did for the Ravens.
Yeah, just because he was a Pro Bowler, you can't really, you know, go with anybody else. And he's a kid that, you know, these Alabama kids have been up and down, but in terms of the draft, obviously they play great for Nick Saban at Alabama. But, yeah, this guy's amazing. I mean, what more can you say? Pro Bowler, deserved it, you know, heck of a linebacker, and he'll be there for, you know, 10 years. He's like a Von Miller type. If he stays healthy, he'll be great. He'll be a perennial All-Star.
Then obviously the comeback player of the year, he's the Gronkinator. You know, I think he is the difference to what makes New England. You know, look, the last couple of years, this guy's been hurt, and they haven't been the same team. And you know, even in that last Giants Super Bowl, he played hurt. He only had two receptions for like 29 yards. So I think a healthy Gronk, and what did he come back, week two or three? He didn't start the season. And once he came back, you know, the team took off and the offense took off. So without a doubt, Rob Gronkowski is the comeback player of the year.
See, I'm going to go a little bit different because Rob Gronkowski is the man. But I'm going to go with Rolando McClain. And I'm going to say that this cat was out of football. And this cat, there was questions about his head, where he is. And he was, what is he, 25, 26 years old?
Yeah,
kid from Alabama.
Yeah.
Had the talent, was a top 10 pick, went to Oakland. That fizzled out, you know, tried
left
a couple other.
Left the game twice.
Yeah.
Very fair, yeah.
Retired. You don't retire in your 20s when you're that talented, especially if it's not injury-related. So I'm going to say that's a true comeback story. Gronk is great, and Gronk was always great, and Gronk is, you know, the prototype tight end, run-blocking, pass receptions. But Rolando McClain really made a comeback, in you know, mentally and physically and all that. So I'm going to go with him for my comeback.
I like that. Now, the big thing, this is a big thing with us. We have our segment, Hall of Fame Fridays. This is emotional. You know, they're down to the 15. We'll find out on Saturday. I think early in the day they have their cut that goes from 15 down to whatever, or I don't know if they just announce it now. They usually release it, and it's on Twitter or whatever before the live show on NBC, 8 p.m. Eastern. But if you had to guess, and we spoke about this with the Hall of Fame, I guess the guys that we know that are locks, we agreed on before, and that was Junior Seau, and I think who were the two? We both went with Seau and Tim Brown and Kurt Warner. Did we agree?
No, I don't
think
Kurt Warner gets in.
Okay, that's right. Okay, we disagreed on that one. So I think Kurt Warner. Now, one thing we haven't discussed, the factors of the contributors. Will Shields you had in. You like,
yes.
Will Shields, yes. Okay. Now, do you see any place? Oh, and Orlando Pace. I'm sorry, that was the guy.
That was the guy we both agreed on, yeah.
Now, do you see where a Ron Wolf or Bill Polian get in, a Dungy or Jimmy Johnson? Or do these four guys, these four sort of GM coaches, do they have to wait?
See, Tony Dungy to me can wait, although he has done a lot since leaving the game in terms of promoting football and you know, pumping up the NFL. But in terms of what they did – you know, in terms of football, Bill Polian needs to get a lot of credit for what you know, for what he's done, right? So I got to think you might have to give him some love.
I think Haley. But, I think we agreed on Haley. I think that's Charles Haley's time.
Yes. I have Haley. You and I both agree. I don't think he's a lock because he's been left off, what, 5, 6, 7 times already? So Charles Haley, I think, is in. And I think that Will Shields is definitely in. Orlando Pace, Junior Seau, those are my guys. And then there might be a Tim Brown might finally get his credit. You know, Marvin Harrison is knocking at the door. I don't think Kurt Warner gets in. I think he'll have to wait a little bit. But, you know, in terms of the off-the-field guys, the GM type, so Bill Polian, I think you put him ahead of Ron Wolf. But Ron Wolf probably gets in the Hall of Fame eventually as well.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And there's only one senior guy, so I think the senior guy, you know, gets in. What I don't like, I feel like the Wolf, Polian, Johnson, and Dungy, that should be a separate category from the players.
It should take away any spots.
Right, so you'll have one senior, and usually it's two seniors, or it has been the last couple of years, And then up to five guys, doesn't have to be five, you know, they have to get the 85%, up to five guys, including those four contributors, are part of that five. And I think they should be, you know, maybe one of them, like a senior, a separate category. Because I think it shouldn't be fair that a junior stay out bumps Apollyon or Dungy or, you know what I mean? Like, or they get left out. So
right, that's separate.
But,
I agree.
Yeah, and so it'll be fascinating. I think, you know, I could see them wanting to put one of the contributors in, and I guess to me, if they did somebody, I could see it being Polian, you know, just the Colts and the Bills and, you know, Ralph Wilson just passing and the ownership and, you know, just how things are going. Pace, you know, for some reason I feel like Warner will get in, but I could see him waiting. I might agree with you in a sense that him waiting just because of the years. He wasn't excellent for the amount of years, but the percentages, the touchdowns, the MVPs, the, you know, taking two franchises to Super Bowls. Yeah, it's so excellent. I think the guys that I feel should get in, and it's just, it's such a logjam. Of course, Tim Brown and Harrison, but I like Terrell Davis and Kevin Green. You know, I really do. I you know, short careers, but excellence for Terrell Davis. So look, it's going to be fun. It's, you know, you can't, I don't think you could be disappointed if, you know, and look, we haven't even mentioned, you know, we both love, for people who don't know, Ray's third favorite team is the Superchargers with Eric Coryell. Dan Fouts was Ray's guy. So, you know, Don Coryell, what an innovator.
Wes Chandler, Jefferson,
yeah.
Joyner, all these guys, Chuck Muncy,
ugh. Yeah, no, that was great.
And the original warrior, Kellen Winslow Sr.
Kellen Winslow, he's still I don't know if there's a better tight end than him ever. I mean, forget just whatever his numbers were because, you know, it's a different era. Come on, man. Kellen Winslow was a problem. That guy was incredible. And I, you know, we both said Jerome Bettis, and I'm a Steeler fan. He might be in the Hall of Very Good. It might be hard for him to get in, as great as he was. But that Super Bowl could help him.
That Super Bowl back to Detroit, it does help him, even though he was already, you know, I don't want to say over the hill, but he was definitely
he was still a factor in that leg.
Super
Bowl, remember?
He was.
Big Ben wasn't Big Ben yet. You got to be fair about that. So, look, it's going to be great. This is going to be a great Super Bowl. I think Katy Perry is going to be amazing. Fireworks and those songs. I got to ask you a question. Will she perform I Kissed a Girl or no? Is that too controversial for the NFL?
Probably. I think that the NFL's like, look, we got enough, you know, stuff to be talking about in the media.
She said on NFL Network after the press conference, she's like, look, I know enough. I'm responsible enough not to do anything that Monday morning they'll be talking about me besides my music. Now, we know Lenny Kravitz is going to be there with her. I saw out here in Phoenix, they've got like a local high school band and kids. She's going to have three different stages. She said a shark, a lion. Ray, it should be fun. Our wives should probably like it. The kids should be entertained. I think we're going to have a great Super Bowl. Ladies and gentlemen, get ready. And remember, Ray and Tay have the exact same score.
That's crazy. Now, you know that Ray and Tay don't even like agreeing with each other. So
this,
we didn't talk about this.
I don't think this has happened ever in our lives. We've known each other since we were 12, ladies and gentlemen. This has never happened. And, you know, it's just great. So we'll be back Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern. We'll review the Super Bowl. About the Phoenix Open, who wins it, Tigers gone, the NBA All-Star Reserves, the Snugs, Cousins, Lillard, Ray, have a great Super Bowl, and thanks for everybody for listening, thanks for the callers, we're out.
Enjoy the game, enjoy the commercials, enjoy the halftime, and come enjoy the recap with us on Monday.
Ray and Tay today. Yes, Sports Radio's on, talking sports with friends, and you know we got it on, from the NFL to the NBA, MLB and college hoops do it all day, college football, we know who's number one, understand, on the phones, you know we get it done, so call in 718-664-9098 and we'll give you more, talking sports.
it's for you. Talk sports, it's for you. Pray and pay, and we spit it every day. And we're talking sports, give us a call, okay?
Sports radio.
Sports radio.